Okay, you're listening to Cross the Border. My name is Nicholas, and the purpose of these studies for the time being is the purpose of this program for the time being, I should say, is the study of the scripture. We may do other things at times, but this is the main emphasis of the program. I have a website. It's crosstheborder.org. I'd like you to go there, and you'll find a link to email me, and I would like to hear from you. So visit my website there. You can also find these programs archived if you're a lover of the Word of God. I can't imagine any other reason you'd even be listening to this program than that you want to study the Word, you want to learn it, because you're following hard after our Creator. And there's so much to be gleaned from His Word. He wrote every verse and every chapter for a purpose. And that's why we're in it, to discover what that purpose is, to read that Word and have it mold us into the people that He wants us to be. Because when that Word is in our heart, He can draw it out, and when we need it, He can use it to shape our lives according to His way of thinking. I often relate the idea that when I first started reading the Word, that a lot of it was pretty nonsensical to me. It didn't make much sense. And I specifically refer to a book like Proverbs, because it was almost like reading another language. But really, it wasn't reading another language. I was reading, of course, the King James English, which is almost another language. But really, it was a foreign way of thinking, a way of thinking that I couldn't quite understand. But I can say now that when I read the book of Proverbs, that I understand it completely. And every time I read it, because it is His Word, I see more. And I get more out of it. So, let's continue. We're in Exodus. We're around Exodus chapter 10 and verse 15. We'll just pick up there and continue. They covered the face of the whole earth. We're talking about the locusts. So that the land was darkened. And they ate every herb of the land and all the fruit of the trees which the hail had left. And there remained not any green thing in the trees, nor in the herbs of the field, throughout all the land of Egypt. Then Pharaoh called for Moses and Aaron in haste, and he said, I have sinned against Yahuwah, your God, and against you. Now therefore forgive, I pray thee, my sin only this once, and entreat the Lord your God, that he may take away from me this death only. And he went out from Pharaoh and entreated Yahuwah. And Yahuwah turned a mighty strong west wind and took away the locusts and cast them into the Red Sea. There remained not one locust in all the coasts of Egypt. But Yahuwah hardened Pharaoh's heart so that he would not let the children of Israel go. And Yahuwah said to Moses, stretch out thy hand toward heaven, that there may be darkness over the land of Egypt, even darkness which may be felt. You ever been in that kind of darkness? Darkness is so thick that you can almost feel it. Yeah, we've all been there once, or pretty nearly there. So if you've been there and you've been in darkness so dark that you could feel it, I'll bet you this was 10 times worse. I'll bet you the darkness was so dark that they could feel it pressing in on them. And Moses stretched forth his hand toward heaven, and there was a thick darkness in all the land of Egypt, 3 days. Wow, 3 days. 3 days and three nights. Darkness, so thick that you could feel it. And they didn't see one another. They probably couldn't light a candle. They probably couldn't do anything. Neither rose anyone from his place for 3 days. But all the children of Israel had light in their dwellings. I mean, they had dark candles in Egypt. So for the children of Israel, they had light in their dwellings. And Pharaoh called to Moses and said, go ye, serve Yahuwah. Only let your flocks and your herds be stayed. Let your little ones also go with you. He's being really kind now. I mean, he's really giving in, right? You can't take your flocks. Go and feast and sacrifice, but you can't take your flocks and your herds, right? What are they going to sacrifice? How are they going to have a feast? Go ye, serve Yahuwah, your God. Only let your flocks and your herds be stayed. Let your little ones also go with you. And Moses said, Thou must give us also sacrifices and burnt offerings, that we may sacrifice unto Yahuwah our God. Our cattle also shall go with us. There shall not one hoof be left behind, for thereof we must take to serve Yahuwah our God. And we know not with what we must serve Yahuwah until we come thither. But the Lord, Yahuwah, hardened Pharaoh's heart, and he would not let them go. And Pharaoh said unto him, Get thee from me, take heed to thyself, see my face no more, for in the day that thou seest my face, thou shalt die. And now he's threatening, he's saying, Get out of here. And Moses said, Thou hast spoken well, I will see thy face again no more. Chapter 11. And Yahuwah said unto Moses, Yet will I bring one plague more upon Pharaoh, and upon Egypt. Afterwards, he will let you go hence. When he shall let you go, he shall surely thrust you out hence altogether. Now speak to the ears of the people. Let every man borrow of his neighbor, and every woman of her neighbor, jewels of silver and jewels of gold. And Yahuwah gave the people favor in the sight of the Egyptians. Okay, and here the word here, borrow, doesn't mean go and take a loan out or borrow something with the intent of paying it back. It doesn't have the same meaning as borrow has today. It means to, I'll just mouse over it here on my e-sword, and I'll tell you exactly what it says. It says to inquire, to request. It doesn't mean, it says to demand or lay a charge. But in context, it says that, and of course we're talking about the Egyptians. They're going to the Egyptians saying, Do you have any gold? Do you have any silver? I'm inquiring for Yahuwah our God, that we may go out and sacrifice. This time, the Egyptians are fully exasperated, and they're going, Take it. Take the gold. Take the silver. Take the jewels. Just go. I mean, there's a great fear upon all the Egyptians at this time. And it says here in verse 3 in chapter 11, And Yahuwah gave the people favor in the sight of the Egyptians, meaning that they willingly gave to them. Moreover, the man Moses was very great in the land of Egypt, in the sight of Pharaoh's servants, and in the sight of the people. Yes, you can imagine. Before Pharaoh was the great man, now Moses is the great man. And Moses said, Thus saith Yahuwah, About midnight I will go out into the midst of Egypt, and all the firstborn of the land of Egypt shall die, from the firstborn of Pharaoh that sitteth upon his throne, even unto the firstborn of the maidservant that is behind the mill, and all the firstborn of beasts. And there shall be a great cry throughout all the land of Egypt, such as there was none like it, nor shall there be like it any more. I've heard many critics all my life, ever since I became a student of Scripture, that people bringing an accusation against Yahuwah, the God of the Hebrews, for doing this thing here, for smiting all the firstborn of Egypt. The children. Well, there were grown men. Didn't matter whether the firstborn was 3 months old, 30 years old, or 80 years old. If they were firstborn, they died. But who are we, really, to bring an accusation against the Almighty? Before any man ever died, he warned our great, great, greatest grandfather, Adam. And he told him, If you obey me, the price is death. If you listen to me, you live. If you disobey me, you die. Now, there are circumstances in life, and perhaps most of you have never been in circumstances like that, where you need to tell your child something and you need them to obey you immediately or they're going to die. Circumstances like that can arise, and they do arise, though most of us are fortunate. We've never had circumstances like that arise. And the obedient child would live because they would do what their parent said. Because they would do something odd, maybe, like run immediately to me. Your child standing in the street. No time to look around. Run immediately. Come here now. And if the child doesn't move, perhaps it's going to get struck by a car. Just for illustration. Could happen. It probably has happened. It's probably happened hundreds of times. The obedient child lives. The child that questions or hesitates dies. The child that's just plain stubborn and is not accustomed to listening to the parent would die. So we all are born with a death sentence. Me, you, Pharaoh, all the Israelites, and the Almighty Creator. Our life is a grace period, really, when you think about it. Adam and Eve, they deserved death. They got grace. They weren't killed immediately. Now, there was a famous case, a woman who was indicted for one thing and then got prosecuted for perjury. And she was convicted and sentenced to prison. And the judge gave her a grace period. And this happens a lot, depending on the crime. And this woman had several months before she had to report for her sentence. She had a grace period. The judge was being kind, allowing her to get her multi-million dollar business and affairs in order so that she could do her, you know, however many months it was in prison. Grace. The penalty is due, but grace, and the very word grace, is the root for gratitude. And it is the very reason that we should be grateful. Because we all are born with a death sentence. And none of us deserves to live. And if there's any doubt, just to prove it to every one of us, we all sin. And we all commit our own acts of disobedience. Because we were born the children of disobedience. The seed of Adam. It is up to our Creator, Yahuwah, to determine how long anyone's grace period is. When a child dies in the womb, does anyone go, how could God let that happen? Well, I guess people do. When a child dies after it's born, yes, it seems a grievous thing. When multiple people, men, women, and children, are killed in an accident, their grace period is over. When someone dies, an old man or an old woman, with a full life, no one brings an accusation against the Creator in that instance. But it really, is it any different? Should not they bring an accusation against Him simply because we don't live forever? But the truth is, they can't bring the accusation against Him. The accusation is against us and against our fathers and our greatest, greatest grandfather, Adam. That's where the accusation lies, for every death. He is the sovereign of this earth, of His whole creation. He decides how long someone's grace period will be, if they have one at all. I'm sure that many die moments after conception. What happens to them? He judges them all. And perhaps for many that live a full life of disobedience, never even entertaining the idea of faith and obedience to our Heavenly Father, perhaps it would be better if they were never born. No, we're in no position to bring an accusation against the Almighty. No position whatsoever. So that He does this, and He slays all the firstborn, that's His prerogative. They are His creation. Some people, it would be better if they were never born. Yahshua even expressed that. Anyone who causes one of these little ones to stumble, and there are people that dedicate their lives to causing people to stumble, to robbing little ones of their faith. They've dedicated their lives to that. Hundreds of thousands have dedicated their lives. It's their very occupation, the reason that they live. It would be better for them that a millstone were hanged about their neck and they were drowned in the depths of the sea. That's what Yahshua said. It would be better for that man, that woman, if they had never been born. Now, you know, as I've shared with many of you, and many of you know with it, I had a wife die with child earlier this year. Not for a moment did I think to bring an accusation against the Almighty. Yeah, I felt anger. I'm tempted like every other man, but there's no way. Couldn't do it. Can the Almighty sin? No way. And I'm glad that He never did. And when He became a man, when He became flesh and dwelt among us, He never sinned once. And that is why He was able to conquer death. Because when He willingly allowed sinful men to crucify Him and kill His body, death could not hold on to Him because it had no claim on Him. Because the wages of sin is death, and He had never sinned. The penalty wasn't due. Death couldn't hold Him. He took our sin, and He left it there in the grave. He said, "Join me. Drink my blood and eat my flesh." Of course, He was speaking spiritually. He was speaking by faith. And us, by faith, entering into His death and resurrection, by choosing to live a life of obedience to our Heavenly Father. That's how we do it. We choose. We can't do it. We don't have the power. But it is the power of His Spirit that teaches us obedience. That through repentance, we have His law written on our hearts. There's nothing more important in this life. Absolutely nothing. All those atheists and skeptics, all those people out there robbing the little ones of their faith. There's still hope for you. There's still hope for them. They can still turn from their wicked ways. They could still cry out to our Creator and say, "Please teach me obedience. Take this yoke off of me. He is merciful. Teach me obedience." That's my prayer, and I hope it's your prayer. Many are called, but few are chosen. What's my prayer? Choose me. Let me be chosen. All things work together for good to those that love God and are called according to His purpose. I want to be called. Let me be one that is called. That's my prayer, and I hope it's yours. Exodus chapter 11, verse 4. And Moses said, "Thus saith Yahuwah, about midnight I will go out into the midst of Egypt, and all the firstborn in the land of Egypt shall die, from the firstborn of Pharaoh that sitteth upon the throne, even unto the firstborn of the maidservant that is behind the mill, and all the firstborn of beasts, and there shall be a great cry throughout all the land of Egypt, such as there was none like it, for shall be like it any more." And you have to remember, these were a people who 40 years prior, and probably up to that time, I don't know. I don't know how long they forced infanticide upon the Hebrew children. They had police out there in the land of Goshen to police them. This was about the time that Moses was born. That's why he was set out. And he was one of the few that was saved, so that they could only have women, because the Egyptians feared them. And here we are, 40 years later. "But against any of the children of Israel shall not a dog move his tongue, against man or beast, that you may know that Yahuwah doth put a difference between the Egyptians and Israel. And all these thy servants shall come down unto me, and bow themselves unto me, saying, Get thee out, and all the people that follow thee, and after that I will go out. And he went out from Pharaoh in great anger." We'll be back after a short break here.